This video was brought to you by Slightbean, a platform for startups and small businesses to create professional investor decks and sales presentations. Get one free month by signing up at slightbean.com/YouTube. How does the biggest toy store in the world end up in bankruptcy? It's a question worth answering. In its 70-year history, Toys R Us rose from humble beginnings to become the first category killer, a term we'll explain later. But when we hear that Toys R Us went bankrupt, our first thought is Amazon killed it. Well, that's not entirely true. Amazon was the last dagger in an already battered brand, and most of its wounds didn't come from the outside. So this is the company forensics for Toys R Us. Toys R Us is born. Charles Lazarus was a pretty smart guy. At just 25, he started a company that made baby furniture. Why babies? Because World War II had just ended, and according to Lazarus, soldiers were gonna go home, get married, and have children, and live the American dream. I would sell cribs, carriages, strollers, high chairs, everything for the baby. My instincts told me the timing was right. So he borrowed $2,000 and took all of his savings, which were another $2,000, to create Children's Bargain Town. The business was moderately successful, but within less than a decade, he realized that the money wasn't really there, but somewhere really close. Toys. You see, toys either break or go out of fashion, so parents frequently visit toy stores, especially in times of bonanza, like in the 50s. Lazarus noticed, and in 1957, he opened a store dedicated exclusively to toys and aptly called it Toys R Us. But his idea was to be different. First, the name. It was modern, but as years would prove, timeless. The inverted R was intended to represent a child's writing. The mascot, Joffrey the Giraffe, became a mainstay in ads and billboards. The marketing was genius. It eventually included jingles and ads every single Saturday morning. But the biggest game changer was the store itself. It resembled more a supermarket than a toy store, with its products stacked up high and with plenty of options. This was a radical idea. Here's what toy expert Richard Gottlieb had to say. Toys R Us astonished the area's consumers, who had simply never seen stores that big and crammed with merchandise. What Lazarus really captured was the sense of American abundance after the war and after all those years of depression. By the way, how do you become a toy expert? It's probably fun. An influx of cheaper products coming from Asia, specifically Japan, as it rebuilt its economy, also helped the brand. Japanese toys were cheap and could easily be bought in bulk. This meant that stores were always crammed with new and fascinating toys. And who doesn't love toys? Success and more success. While the brand expanded moderately during the 60s, it was the 70s and 80s that saw a boom in its growth, up to a point in which Toys R Us was considered the biggest toy company in the world. Lazarus focused aggressively on becoming standardized, efficient, and agile to fulfill the increasing demand. And he was confident in his brand. What we are is a supermarket for toys, Lazarus told the Washington Post in 1981. We don't have a competitor in variety. There's none. Lazarus also embraced technology to improve the company's processes. With a complex computer system, Toys R Us could track each product sold and identify which were hot-selling items way before other competitors could. And let's remember, this was the 80s. Computers weren't cheap, nor small, nor easy to use, but Lazarus was willing to invest in order to have a stronghold in the market. He also understood demand very well. Toys are seasonal, and their best season is usually one quarter near Christmas. So he didn't just keep toys in store, he also kept baby products, diapers, and formula to sell all year round. Around the country, smaller chains were unable to compete and quickly disappeared as Toys R Us opened more than 1,200 stores around the US. Not only did they change the toy market in America, but they created a category in its own. Toys R Us was the first category killer. By 1990, it turned in $12 billion. And in 2001, they opened an iconic store in Times Square, which usually means you've made it. The store was crazy. It even had a Ferris wheel inside. But the 90s also brought in murky waters. But before we explain that, let's talk about what a category killer is and why it's important to our story. Category killer. Category killers are retailers that offer massive amounts of products and variety. They usually attack the customer with low prices, product selection, ease of shopping, and aggressive marketing. Plus, these companies are usually pretty knowledgeable in the market, which makes them a double threat, not only due to the size, but also due to versatility. Toys R Us was truly the definition of a category killer. And category killers thrive until another, bigger, more aggressive killer enters the ring. Some examples of these killers are Barnes & Noble, for example, as it killed independent bookstores, Best Buy, who devoured small electronics stores, and Staples that killed office suppliers. And then, of course, there's Walmart. Yes, because Toys R Us sold cheaper toys, but Walmart sold cheaper diapers, formula, baby clothes, baby food, electronics, and, of course, toys. Walmart was a step above Toys R Us in the retail food chain. And sometimes, one above is all you need. The fall. Walmart grew rapidly in the 90s, so fast that by 1998, it took Seoul first place as the biggest toy store retailer in the US, and this hadn't happened in a decade. But toys were really only the fishing hook to reel customers in, so they could buy other stuff. Come in for Monopoly and leave with two spare tires, a blender, and the biggest sack of rice you can buy. Something like that. Walmart's success centered around one thing. Cliff Anicelli wrote, "It's a matter of convenience for a lot of people. Parents don't have the luxury to just shop for toys. It's easier to just go to Walmart, where they can do the rest of their shopping and still get the best toys." Also, Toys R Us wasn't only battling Walmart, but also the threat of e-commerce. And it's not like they didn't try. In fact, they created ToysRUs.com in 1998, but failed miserably. In December 99, so many people ordered products, the company failed to deliver products before the 24th, which is the only thing that you're supposed to do. They, of course, didn't abandon the idea of digital. After the Christmas fiasco, and thanks to $60 million from investors, they partnered up with Amazon. The terms were almost perfect. A 10-year exclusivity with Amazon to distribute their toys. Who wouldn't love that? And at first, it seemed the deal worked. Toys R Us was the biggest toy seller on Amazon within the first 2 years, but Amazon was unsatisfied with the supply and wanted more. So they began selling other brands, which of course pissed Toys R Us, and lawsuits ensued. Toys R Us won, but they only won $56 million, which isn't a lot of money, especially with the sacrifice that came along with it. You see, instead of working on their own digital platform, Toys R Us had relied heavily on Amazon. So when their relationship ended, the company was left with no digital identity nor an e-commerce platform to sell their products. And this is a pivotal moment in the company's history. Toys R Us was now desperate to jumpstart itself and remain competitive. So they slashed prices, bought other toy makers like FAO Schwartz, and they winnowed their stores by removing all unnecessary loss-generating products. Toys ceased to be the priority. Suddenly, money was. But all these decisions came at a high cost. The acquisitions were very expensive. The cost-cutting focus in their stores backfired as the locations became more and more unappealing, so price slashing didn't really work because customers didn't visit the locations. On top of that, their digital presence was very, very deficient. And most of the company's income went directly to paying off their debt, which was estimated at $5 billion. The nail in the coffin. Companies like Walmart and Amazon did do some damage, but as you can see, not all of them. Toys R Us had turned public in 1978 to great success, but by 2005, it took a big hit. Its debt was graded as a junk bond and offered at very low cost. High reward, but very risky. In March of that year, a private group bought out Toys R Us, led by KKR Group, Bain Capital, and Vornado Realty. This group bought the company through a leveraged buyout, which means that the acquisition is done through mostly borrowed money. They dished out only $1.2 billion, while the other $5.4 billion was borrowed. And to secure those $5.4 billion, Toys R Us assets were used as collateral. And remember that junk bonds are very high risk. So it's not that Toys R Us wasn't making money. It was, but it had to pay up $400 million a month in interest alone, in what critics called an ATM for Wall Street. So with dwindling sales, though, competition and a smaller market share, those $400 million eventually ate away the company. And in September 2017, Toys R Us declared bankruptcy. But this surprised many. Some investors said Chapter 11 wasn't necessary, and the bankruptcy papers cited that efforts were made to find funding, and there was no restructuring plan. It felt shady, to say the least. So this brings forth the ethical discussion around leveraged buyouts. they seem justified. It's an opportunity for the company to become leaner, more financially solid. Well, most end up uploading debt with assets. Investors usually protect themselves. After all, the wrapper protects the chocolate bar. But if you want to eat the chocolate bar, you get rid of the wrapper, right? In this case, the wrappers were Toys R Us's employees, benefits, stores. So the investors did just that. KKR, Vornado, and Bain earned $470 million out of Toys R Us before declaring it bankrupt. Meanwhile, 30,000 jobs were lost, their severance plans nullified, unpaid vacations were eliminated, and the stores all around the country were cannibalized by other brands. Former employees gathered around the country and protested. So much so that eventually Bain and KKR both set up funds totaling $20 million to pay former Toys R Us's employees the money they owed. As protests ensued, it was clear that toys were no longer created to bring a smile to a kid's face, but rather dollars to the pockets of Wall Street fat cats. And thus died a company that had grown too big. Perhaps too big, too hungry, so it started eating itself from the inside. But perhaps it's too big to die. After bankruptcy, the company resurged as True Kids and opened a few stores in the US where it hopes to revive 70 years of history. Hopefully, not all of its history. So, what did we learn about this story? Well, that it sucks to be a kid today. You have to go through the tire section, the reusable diapers aisle, the non-fat milk fridge, the low energy consuming light bulbs to the quinoa and kale organic chip pantries, and then maybe, just maybe, you can peek into Magic Walmart's aisle 5 to choose that small action figure you've waited all morning to buy.